Book of Genesis. Somebody said, well, playing some of your tapes that you preached a couple of years ago on the radio. I said, well, I can't run them by again, tell I. That's right. But we'll try to listen to God this week, and I'd rather listen to Him than me. Have you? Yes, sir. 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, and let's begin at verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made omissions under the sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and behold, his brethren and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience unto me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Shall we pray? Almighty and eternal God, lover of our soul, what a joy it is through the blood of Calvary that we have the privilege of coming to the throne of grace. We come there needy creatures tonight, conscious that we'll be sound in brass, antique and symbol, without the power of God. We do not come to parade ourselves or to exalt the flesh. But, oh God, we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to lift up Him who was lifted up and exalt Him above everything else tonight. And dear God, surely, as we exalt You, the fires of God shall once again be burned in our hearts, that we may depart from these grounds to go our several ways to do business for the King. Our Father, we pray for every need tonight, whatever it might be, I ask in Jesus' name, minister to our hearts. And I pray especially for Your men, choice men, You've called out and laid Your hand upon them. I realize, God, these are difficult days, and I pray for them. I recognize that hell's breaking out like an contagious disease in our churches, our rebelliousness against authority. And I pray, God, to stir these men of God up and give them a nugget from the table of God and set their fire hearts afire by the help and grace of God, that we may be flaming evangels in these days to stand for God. I realize, Lord, this world needs the gospel, but they need the law and the judgment of God tonight so they can turn after the soothing, blessed gospel. Our Father, we pray, breathe on us now as we attempt to preach the Word of God, and we'll be careful to bow and thank and praise You. In Your lovely and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I got 20 minutes after 8, something like that. And I'll be through about 10 minutes till. I didn't say 10 minutes to what? But we'll try to wind her up for midnight by the help and grace of God. Brother Sexton and I was in a meeting on a Saturday night jubilee not too long ago, and they were broadcasting in about the middle of my message. I preached second. And about the middle of my message, some of our folk was listening to it some miles away, and said all of a sudden, bam, it went off, and they started advertising. I guess they got too windy, maybe. I don't know. But I hope they'll stay with us. Tonight, I believe everybody ought to recognize that God has laid some necessities as children of God upon your life. God never saved anybody just to take them to heaven. God didn't save you to keep you out of hell. God saved you and placed us in this world to glorify His name. Now, there's only one way that we can glorify God, and that's in the perfect and divine will of the Lord. I'm conscious today that there are some things that must transpire in the life of every believer and before he reaches the pinnacle that God intends for him to reach in life. I look at Apostle Paul, and I believe the pinnacle of Paul's ambition Christians was to go to Rome, that heathen and adulterous and sinful as town, and tell them the sweet gospel of the Lord Jesus. That was his ambition and his goal. Whether he was at Corinth in that place of prosperity and where sin had its roots, I believe it was a drive in his soul. Shall I want to go to Rome and preach the word? Many years before Paul ever got there, he said, my heart's desire still to go, and said, I'm in debtor both to the Jew and to the Gentile and to the and all folks as far as that's concerned. And he said, as much as in me as I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. It was his desire, of course. He did not know the imprisonment that was going to come. He'd have to go, but in shackles, as a common prisoner upon a boat that would be cast upon the stormy seas and broken apart. He didn't realize that. Now, to reach the place that God has intended for all his children, there's going to have to be some polishing of the diamonds. There's going to have to be some fatties. And I think when we get to glory and stand in the presence of God, and our life is reviewed before us, it'll not be the mountaintop experiences that helped us, but it'll be the dungeons and the persecutions and the heartaches and the valleys and the problems that came your way and mine that made us shine like diamonds, because he is coming, the Bible said, for his jewels, is he not? So we need to recognize, if we're going to reach the pinnacle that God wants us to reach, there may be some prisons and pits for us to go through, but thank God for the graduation to the palace, the pinnacle of God's position for His children. Let's look for a while at the dreamer. Look at the person first of all. We do not know this to be sure, but if you allow me to insert some things that could have happened in the life of this young man, his mother was the first love of his dad. Joseph's father, Jacob, loved Rachel more than all the others. In fact, he had labored 7 years for his father-in-law, Laban, that he might gain access to Rachel for a wife. You know the story. When he unveiled his bride, he found that she was Leah. For 7 more years he labored that he may gain the apple of his eye and the love of his heart. And she was unable after marriage to bear children for a long time. And then finally came this young man by the name of Joseph. And his dad Jacob loved him and gave him a coat of many colors. And that coat of many colors meant a place and a position of royalty, as king's children wore, was placed on our little Joseph. And they were coming into Bethlehem many years after this. Joseph was now a young man. Rachel was heavy with child and went into labor. And there was a little boy born, which was later named Benjamin. But at the birth of Benjamin, Rachel died. Could it have been that when that happened, little Joseph was standing by and watching the beads of sweat that was popping on the brow of his dying mother? She could have reached over with her cold hand and touched Joseph and said, Joseph, my son, be something for God and live for Him. That little fella could never get over that experience. We need some godly mothers that can look in the face of some children that's going through some valleys and problems that most of us were never going through. We need some mamas that will say, live for God. He'll pay off to do so. Could it be that little Joseph said, I'm going to be something for God. I'm going to live for Him. One of these days when life's journey is over, and I stand before God and see Mama in the crowd, Mama say, that's my boy, and live for God. Now Joseph left that scene that day to dream. He left with some ambitions in his life. And I want to talk with you for the next hour and 15 minutes. I want to talk with you. You ought to have a dream. How's everybody ought to dream once in a while? Now, I'm not talking about eating a load of cabbage and cucumbers and onions and having a nightmare. That's not what I'm talking about. I believe God's people ought to have some dreams. I mean, while you're wide awake, to do things for God. Man never sets his ambitions in gold, never does anything for God. He'll stumble on his own tracks and never get too much done. But old Joseph dreamed. And of course he physically had a dream, and he didn't have the Word of God as we have, and that's why God came to him in that way. And so Joseph dreamed. And he dreamed that when they were out in the field, and they were gathering the stalks of wheat, or barley, or whatever it may have been, that here his brothers, how these sheaves were standing up like his brothers. And in the midst of that, all of them bowed. And Joseph stood straight. Well, he said, that's a dream. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking for a place of prominence and prestige and a place of authority. I want to tell you something, church member, whether you're a preacher or not, in the sight of God, you're somebody. And there'll come a time when all hell and earth will recognize you as the saints of God. They may run you down and count you as backyard scour. I'll tell you tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're somebody. Here Joseph said, I'm looking forward to that time, and it's a-coming. Well, he had another dream. That was so good. I suppose he said, let me dream on. Let me dream on. And he said, you know, I've seen the stars, 11 of them, bow. I've seen the moon and the sun bow in my presence. Well, he's told his pa and his ma. And old Jacob knew, bless God, there's something in his heart. He rebuked him because his brothers got angry at his dream. And I want to tell you something. You get a dream from God, somebody's going to say, he's a lunatic. Said you better watch him. His elevator don't go all the way to the top. Be careful. Be very careful about him. He's wishing some things impossible. I want to tell you, God delights in doing the impossible. Anything this secular world can understand, they'll never come to God. It's a supernatural thing that God does in His children that causes this world to stand. He was a dreamer. How about you? What kind of ambitions? You satisfied where you are? Are you satisfied with the two before that you have? Are you satisfied in just a daily? You know, some folks have, you know, everybody else is to listen. I heard somebody preaching not too long ago, and they were saying, I happened to be in the book of Jude myself a preaching that time, and they said, we're living in that day of apostasy, and we can't help what's going on, and all the coldness and deadness in our church. I said, bless God, I don't have to be a part of it. Amen? I don't have to be a part of that cold, dead, realistic religion. I'm glad, thank God, I can dream about good and great things that God can do. I wouldn't tell this if I wasn't preaching. But I come a preaching family. On every side, my dad is preachers. And I wanted to preach, but didn't want to preach. You know what I'm talking about? If I preached, well, they said I was preaching because daddy's a preacher, grandpa's a preacher, two uncles a preacher, three cousins is a preacher, two brothers is a preacher. And they said I'd preach because dad's preaching. And I said I wouldn't preach. But once in a while, I'd get in a good meeting. When I was a little old coat half a boy, and God put something in my soul when He birthed me in this world, you and I were called, but God has called from your mother's womb. And then when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I got preaching in my bones. I couldn't have that. I'd get the youngins out by the shed, bless God, and get me a Sears and Roebuck catalog and preach to them out of there. I'd preach in my soul, and I dreamed about preaching. I wouldn't do it, but I dreamed about preaching. I wanted to preach. I remember coming here 25, 30 years ago when A.F. Blackman was in his heyday, and I'd sit back there and I thought about, wonder if they have that taken. Old Brother Davis preached on, come, everything's ready. My God, that man had a set of 13s. He walked across here, slapped them things, and as a young preacher boy, sat back there and said, oh God, if I could do that, how pleased I'd be. Now listen, I believe, bless God, forever possum, God made a cemetery. I believe to give you a place to preach. If you want to preach, bless God, you can preach and live for God. I mean, dream big, bless God, let God do something. Dream. Let me say something, you preacher. Can I say this right hastily? God's only got one church for you. Now, you may visit 5, 6, 7, ever how many before you ever got enough sense to get to the right one. But you just got one ministry. And you better have sense enough to know when it is. You better know where it is. And bless God, you better find the message God has for you and that flock of people and stay there, bless God, while hell belly aches and grumbles. Just stay at God. I want to tell you, dreams will come true. I moved where I am 17 years ago. And we had moved out of a 10-room house and into a 6-room. Didn't have a study. And I want to tell you, when Sunday morning came after we moved in, packed my furniture up, and I had to pack Brother Gene my books in boxes, and I couldn't find what I wanted. And I'll tell you, I was wondering if God ever moved me. And on Sunday morning, I said it for a joke, but I meant it. I said, bless God, I'm not tired this morning, I'm tarred. I've cleaned up and moved furniture and packed things up that I probably won't find until the millennial. I don't know where they are. But I said, I ain't going to move. I said, I've settled down. I said, if you find a preacher you like pretty good and you'd like to be his, you'd like for him to be your pastor, bless God, move your letter. Because I ain't a going. Bless God, it costs too much. It wouldn't cost them but a 15-cent stamp to transfer you. And I ain't about to go. And I mean that. I want to stay till God gets through. And God, give me a dream and a dream and a dream. And thank God, I've seen a few of them come to pass by the glory of God. Here's a dreamer. What kind of ambitions have you got tonight? If you don't have big dreams and ambitions, you'll never amount to anything. You can sit around and twiddle your fingers if you please, but I'll tell you, God's got great things because it's a great God if you'll just dream and get a hold of them. Well, that sounds pretty good, Gene. But I want to tell you something. I'd have to hear the person just a dreaming. He got in the pit. Yeah. Jacob said to him one day, son, the boys has gone down to Shechem, or down there to feed their sheep, and said, I want you to go check on them. And so he took off, and he went down to find them, and he'd gone out across the field, and he couldn't find them. Fell son, said, what's the trouble, son? He said, well, I'm looking for my brothers. Well, he said, they're not here. They're going over here to Dothan. And so he said, they didn't have to go. He could turn around and get back to the house and said, Pa, I heard this over yonder at Shechem or Dothan, whichever one it was, vice versa. Said, I don't know where they are, and I just come on back because I heard this over there. No, little Joseph said, I want to go search them out. And while he was going across over there, the brothers saw it. And he said, they saw probably in the sun. That pretty coat of many colors just a glistening. And jealousy got up into the heart and said, here comes that dreamer. Sounds like a bunch of deacons on a Sunday morning, bless God, when the preacher's going to do something to move on for God. Look at that dreamer. Well, we hadn't got enough money how to finance what that dreamer wants. Who asked you to? Bless God, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the diamonds in the Doom Hills, it's all his anyhow. He just wants some folks, bless God, to be with him and let God do it through you. I like that, what you do or not. Amen. They said, look, come and hear this dreamer. We'll fix him up. And so they said, I want to tell you something. Said, what we'll do, we'll just kill him. Well, one said, don't do that. And we'll not have the blood on just as well at their heart. Amen. And so they put him over in the pit. And they sit down and said, what can we do about it? And then they said, well, here comes the caravan. Well, we'll just send him to the caravan, and that'll be off our hands. I don't see you get the picture here. Did you know they did not sell that boy? Literally. But God charged them with it.
Amen.
Robbed over and over said that you sold him in the Egypt. I'll tell you, folks, son, bless God, you may not be guilty of doing it, but you've got somebody else to do it for you. You're just as guilty, bless God, as a dog got out of the nest. Yes, sir. You can take that and put it in your pack, but it's God's truth. Those boys live with the guilt of that young boy on their hands.
Amen.
You're at your church in a roundabout. That's like a bunch of wolves in there. They won't attack you. Not by themselves. You know what they'll do? They'll get them a crowd and get up on the hill and start pacing and a howling. I know that crowd, bless God. WMU, Brotherhood, all that crowd, bless God, trying trying to get around the preacher and pace him. And he's got a dream. And bless God, you better listen to that man.
Amen.
You better fall in behind him instead of charging around him and let him dream good dreams. He'll be the one that's got to get your young'un off of drugs and your children out of hell and let them live right for God. He's God's gift to you. Hey, I better get back up here. That ain't looking too good for somebody. I don't know what you might have on that seat. But it got in the pit. And I want to tell you, the pit will reveal what you are. We do not have one recorded word in the divine scriptures that Joseph said in the pit. You know why? Faith don't have to talk. You remember when Jesus had stopped over there and the woman had an issue of blood and he was delayed from going up to Jairus' house? And while he was there, somebody come down and touched him and said, "Your daughter's already dead." He went, Oh, no. "Is you the way it's you?" No. He didn't say a word. Faith is as still as a mouse. And you know who speaks if we'll be quiet enough to listen to him? And Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Yes, God. You just be quiet in the pit. I'll tell you, God knows how to speak. God knows where you are. But we grumble and complain and raise hell in the pit when God said, "Be still and see the salvation of the Lord." Joseph just was quiet. Well, they took him from the pit where his patience was tried and took him and sold him as a common slave from the pit to Potiphar's house. And I want to tell you, folks, it's in Potiphar's house where your character's checked out. Find out what kind of preacher you are. Find out what you do in certain circumstances.
Amen.
Hundreds of miles from the promised land.
Yes.
No brothers or father there that heard your dreams. You'll understand what you make. Now you see, pits don't make you. Pits reveal what's in you. It brings out faith. Not that God can see. God already knows. But He wants you to see what you're made out of so you can deal with it. God already knows, and nothing ever occurs to God. But he goes to Potiphar's house, and you know what happened? He's blessed. Many fellows said, "Well, I may not get all my dreams, so they may not come through, so I'll just settle down here. I'll just take second best." God help us for doing that, folk. See, he's blessed. I mean, all the folks in Egypt that was the servants and maids in the house of Potiphar had to bow to that young man called Joseph. And don't you know that is hard for an Egyptian to yield to after that boy from up in Israel? Difficult for him. But I'm going to tell you what. He wasn't satisfied with just being there. No doubt was an attractive man. And I want to tell you something, fellas. There's always a crooked one in your pathway. You mark it down. You mark it down as you please. But you better be as scared as you would be of AIDS. See, God's not interested so much in tying up that WMU and brotherhood as He is getting the king.
That's right.
Preacher, He's more interested in you, the devil is, than He is that secondary, third-rate person in the church. Because if He can get you, He can ruin the influence and character of that church for years to come.
That's right.
I want to tell you, in the years that I've been preaching, I've seen some good ones go down.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, there's not a one under this roof or out of this roof is immune from it. When you get to the place you say, "I've got it made," you better be careful. You're heading for the fall. You better run as scared as you can, because the devil put a hussy in your path. And of course, bless God, the preacher's a whole lot of calls for it. They knew. They know who they can eyeball and who they can't. They know who'll give them privileges and who won't. I'm just saying, focus your character. If you've got a dream, everything about you will have to come out, and you have to be an overcomer if you ever do anything for God. And you got to be willing, brother, to say, when the test comes, I want to stay on my knees and pray in a briar thicket till the power of God's on me and keep God on me so I can stay true to God when hell drops out.
Amen.
Is this camp meeting preacher?
Yes.
You see, the biggest part of our problem tonight is in the pulpit.
Amen.
We get some preachers, bless God, live right, walk right.
Yes.
They can have some power of God and they got the pulpit.
Yes.
See the pussy-footing crowd? All they know is to visit the hospital and the morgue. You come up dry on Sunday morning and wonder unto God what's happened. I try to teach pastoral theology in my school. I want to tell you, pastoral theology is not hanging around the hospital. Sometimes you got to go. Young man said, I know God called me to preach. Because I like to visit the hospital. I said, boy, you got death rattles on you already. Yes, sir. But that's the only thing I had to gauge from my call out that mystery. Yes, sir. I take my wife, especially if there's a woman and a man too, because she's like most women. She knows how to talk. And I go in and I say, it's good to see you. I hope you get to doing fine. My wife takes over then. I stayed about 45 minutes and said, I'm in a hurry. I don't know what for. But I'm in a hurry and I got to go. Have a word of prayer and leave. I want to say to that, what we need, men of God that bears their faith in the blessed old King James and say it, God, and believe it, and pray your way through the briar ticket. That's time to get the cow on you. You can get through some of those temptations that will wreck your character. Are they afraid under heaven that such a man's got the power of God on him?
Yes.
Sure as you live. But his character was tested. I want to tell you something. There's not enough devils in hell or out of hell to ruin your character. You're so responsible for your character.
Right. Amen.
Now, they can damn your reputation. But if you've got a good character, bless God, he'll blow it out.
Amen.
Sure as you live. Somebody hold my coat. I want to preach, Brother Jason. His character was tested after it came out of the pit. See, sometimes we think this trouble really gets us by. And then don't listen. Don't ever get to the place where you think you got it made.
That's right. Amen.
Well, a little old gal wanted to lay with him. And he said, I ain't going to do it.
That's right. Amen.
And he ran out of the house.
Yeah.
And she grabbed his coat. And I want to tell you something. You know what he got accused of? Exactly what he wouldn't do.
Right.
That's exactly what he wouldn't do. Now listen. He can't come out of it as clean as a hound's tooth. Because he's not guilty. He came through it. But she waited till her husband got in and called the servants and said, see what they did and what that Hebrew did to me. And here's his coat and see what he's done to me. Isn't that right, servant? I could hear him say, They know where the crook was at. They knew who it was. It didn't fool them. But from the palace, he goes to prison. Locked in. Fellas, I've been there. I know what it is to be locked in. Sure it was hard. But I can see old Joseph pulling his head down in that old dungeon. And God turned tapping on his shoulder about midnight and said, "Son, I'm still here. I'm still with you, son. I'm still with you." The next day is just as hard as it was before. But he pillows his head down again that night and kind of dozed off to sleep. And God said, "Hey, Joseph. Hey, Joseph. I want to tell you, son, I'm watching every move you make. I'm showing you mercy. Just a little while. Just a little while, Joseph. Just stick with the stuff. Stick with it. There's going to be a promotion day after a while. Just stay with it." And one day they threw in an old baker and the butler. You see, if you stayed God down in the prison, you could still interpret dreams. He woke up one morning. The old butler said, "Oh, Jason," said, "I had one of the funniest dreams last night." Said, "I was out here picking grapes. And said, I pulled three big bunches of them. And said, I squeezed all three of them. And said, the king came and drank." And Joseph said, "You want me to tell you what that means?" "Why," said, "can you interpret dreams?" "Said, I thought there's something real odd about you." "Say, can you?" "Oh," I said, "I can't, but God can."
"It."
I said, "Well, tell me what it means." He said, "Well, in three more days, you're going to be serving the king's cup again."
Yeah.
"Oh," he said, "that's fine. Amen. Man, 3 days in here won't seem bad at all. Because I'll get out here in 3 days. That'll be fine. Thank you, Mr. Joseph. I want to tell you, bless God, you can have honor and power in prison."
Yeah.
Did you ever get in a situation you really wanted out and you tried to get out of it and there's no way?
Right.
Little Joseph's no doubt going, "How in the world can my dreams come true? From the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. How can they ever come true?" I want to tell you something, fellas. Every physical and fleshly hope will have to be dashed to pieces for God.
Amen.
Well, the baker said, "Boy, if his dream was that good, tell me about mine. Said, I had a dream. And I had three loaves of bread on my head." Boy, said, "I hate to disappoint you, but," said, "you got 3 days and they're going to hang you. You see, folks, you got to be a bearer of good news and bad news alike."
Amen.
That's why some of you preachers, bless God, hadn't got out of the backwoods yet.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, yeah, you'll talk about the gospel and how great the gospel is, how folks need the gospel. That's good. You know, you know who needs the gospel? Folks hurting.
Amen.
I mean, folks got in a bad position. I mean, it's the world ain't hurting. What they need, bless God, is the judgment of that book.
Amen.
Ain't the judgment, bless God, of that book preach. And it'll get them a hurting. And you can't get nobody to go to the hospital, doctor, they get a hurting. And they ain't going to get to God till they get to hurting.
Amen.
I say, "Well, I better pull out that second. That'll get that deacon. I'll just, I was kind of skip. He ain't got nothing but shuts time he'll get through."
Go ahead.
I mean, listen, folks, you've got to be a bearer of the whole book.
Yeah.
Not just, why he could have said, "Now, let me just rest on this. And as far as I can see, it may or may not be a..." I despise somebody to preach like that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something now, folks. I stand to be corrected. Bless God, shut up if that's all you can do. I mean, stand up and say, "Thus saith the Word of God."
Amen.
He'll stand.
Amen.
He'll stand. Well, I took old boy out. I know who Joseph said, "Say, said, I tell you, when you get out and you go back to the king's palace, if he would please remember me." Well, he didn't. That's our trouble. We forget.
Yeah.
By reason some of you folks got to shout and praise God, you forgot where you got saved.
Amen.
You got over.
Amen.
I mean, you've grown, son. You said, "Well, you know." That's for those that may not be as mature. I've learned to rejoice in a silent way. You don't have to act like me, but you will act. You ever remember where you come from? I stopped by the funeral home on our way here. Placed some arms around a man that weighed 200 and some pounds. And sat in the hall, the funeral home, with two daughters and I assume a brother. In the room across the hall was his wife. Quiet man. Really never been as faithful as he ought to have been to the house of God. Here his wife either one. 10 minutes to 11, Saturday night, my telephone rang. Paramedic said, "Preacher Lockie." I said, "Yeah." Said, "The family needs you tonight. Could you come?" I said, "What's the trouble?" Well, he said, "Do you know so and so?" I said, "Sure." Said he just killed his wife. My wife and I stood and looked in his face. He looked up at me and said, "Preacher, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it." Didn't change the fact of what he had done. I sat in his living room Tuesday night because I hadn't seen him in church. I knew that it was a type that would slip off and be hard to ever get him back in the house of God. And he said, "Preacher, you caught me at a bad time." I said, "Tell me about Lee. He's having some domestic problems." I said, "I probably come at a good time. But if that boy could call back last Tuesday night when I bowed, he and the deacon of ours bowed and prayed with him about his problem.
Amen.
If he had turned to God, he'd have been a lot better off."
Amen.
But he's facing first degree murder charges. Now, folk, I'm going to tell you something. You know where you'll go from here if you don't stay with God.
Amen.
You better stay clean in or out the pit. Stay with God.
Amen.
They forgot it. They forgot little Joseph. And a lot of folks have got over what God did for you. You've got some hard roads ahead of you, folks. Peter said, "I just want to stir up your minds with a way of remembering."
Yeah.
Well, 2 years went by and he was still trying to get out of that prison. And one day the old king had a dream. The king called in all of his soothsayers. And they had one of them Democratic Republic prayer vigils.
Yeah.
If you please. About as much powder in it, bless God, to knock a cross-eyed bird off a limb. Having a prayer vigil one day and a booze the next hour.
Yeah.
The abomination aside to God, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or whoever. And they called in the soothsayer and said, "We've got some problems with the king, and we can't interpret his dream." Listen, folk. Listen, church people. There's coming a day, bless God, this old world is going to get a hold of some things it can't handle. They may count you as side by side with a lot of junk that's going on today, but there's coming a time for the true blue, bless God, that stood for the Lord. They're going to find out they're going to need that crowd. And I'm going to rejoice when it does.
Yes.
Amen.
We can't interpret the dream. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're at the threshold of that in our world tonight. The only answer to the problems in this world is God's people. I'm not saying we'll have a worldwide revival. I'm going to tell you the answer of it. If folks will get right, bless God, they can march through the hell of it and know the victory in God Almighty. You don't have to have a psychiatrist, bless God, when it happens either. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, "You know, I remember." And it said, "Take somebody so long to remember." "I remember when I was in prison as a little old boy down there. And he interpreted my dream. And it come to pass." Old Pharaoh said, "Go get him. I'm having trouble. You fellas can't help me. I want you to take, don't kid him." Little Joseph sat down, just as meek. And see, the king said, first time, bless God, he ever looked at a Hebrew and said, "Sir."
Hey.
They call you reverend now. But if you ever get to preach the Word of God, they call you preacher. He said, sir. Joseph said, yes. Said, I had a dream, but I can't interpret it. Joseph said, tell me. you know, bless God. You know the best kind of counseling you can do? Listen. Don't charge a thing under God's heaven for that course. Not a bit. I had a girl come talk to me last Wednesday night after service. And she said, and after about 35 minutes, she said, but you've been such a help to me. Because most of the time, you're better off listening than him. Just listen. And then Joseph said, tell me. Well, he said, one day, he said, I had this dream and said, there's some corn shot up. It's always pretty. I mean, just a healthy little more. It's beautiful. And said, over here, said, there's another bunch of slim, wind blown. I said, you know what they did? They went over and devoured that thing. And said, had a bunch of cows over here. Fine, and slick. And said, here's some over here to lean. And said, they ate up in that cow. And so said, said, God's told me something. Hey. Better be sure God tells you, though. Yeah. He said there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he said, I want to tell you something, man. He said, you better get so much wise to look after this. Oh, Pharaoh said, I believe you fit to be a little boy.
Yes, man.
Oh, Joe, praise God for dreams. Hey. I've got to get out of the prison. I'm about to get in the palace, God. I'm glad this world's going to meet you one day, and they're going to call for you, and you'll be somebody with us. Joseph said, my dream's coming true. One day, there's a bunch of Hebrew boys come in. Oh, Joseph, see? Those fellas come to my country. Say, what's your fellow's name? I'm telling by their dialect where they come from. Yeah, I know where they come from. You know the story. One day, here come old Cripple Pop. He come down to court to Pharaoh, and they despise shepherds. And he said, hey, Mr. Pharaoh, that bless God said, you know who that boy is? And he said, that's mine. Amen. That's my boy. He says, my boy's got you out of this mess. Oh, Joseph went to his dying bed one day. And I can see him gathering his boys around. And he said, I want to tell you something, boys. I'm going to die. And they're going to bury my bones over on the hills of Goshen. But said, don't dig the grave too deep. Because one of these days, he's going to get out of here. I said, by the way, when you do, get a dang grave digging pile together, get the bones out of here, because I want to go with you when you go. One of these days, blessed God, when the dream's concluded, there's a sign of reminding Goshen to the Hebrews, saying, we'll get out of this bondage. It's going to be delivered, thank God. We'll get out of slavery. I want to tell you something. Bless God on the hillside of a little old city, 7,552 miles and a half from here. Bless God's a graveyard that's empty tonight, which is a silent reminder. He said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, even though he be dead, yet shall he live. I'm dreaming about that, folks. He's coming back. I may not be caught up in a moment, twinkling of eye, but I'm going to be changed in a moment, twinkling of eye. And I think I may just take a little swerve or two while I'm going up and say, I told you so, I told you so. I told you my dream came true. I'm a going home, thank God. Well, I believe I'll just go to sleep and dream a while. How about you? Folks, God wants to do great exploits for folks who believe Him. Set goals and shoot for them. Believe you can reach Him for God. And you say, preacher, that's just a little empty and vague. You listen to what Mr. Paul said. And he said he'll do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask. I haven't got too big a vocabulary, but I bless God, I can ask for He. But I'll tell you where the dream comes in, or think.
That's right.
That's the book. And he concludes in the next verse and said that God be the glory in the church. That's all he wants. I mean, he just wants glory in the church.
Amen.
Who are you giving it to?
Go ahead.
Yonder.
Yes, go ahead.
Could I just lay a big bomb that you may send me home tonight? Under God, I wish there's no such thing as this independent and Southern Baptist business.
Amen.
It's divided a lot of good men. I take you, bless God, on what you believe about that book. I don't care what kind of tale it is.
Amen.
You can cuss me out and throw me out. Oh, bless God, I think I got enough gas in my car to get me back home.
Go ahead.
But we better dream about doing some things for God.
Amen.
I mean together. It's not going to be independent heaven and the Southern Baptist heaven. Thank you. Don't come by and ask me what I am. I'm saved by the grace of God. I said, glory.
Yes.
I talked to a preacher. It hadn't been over 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60 minutes ago, and I said, did that pulpit committee get in touch? He said, yeah, but I'd pastored the independent church one time. I haven't anything to do. Bless God, they need to get saved.
Amen.
And I happen to know the crowd. Well, they got quiet, but you're listening. It looks good to dream, thank God, when all these divisions and problems are laid aside and we get to believe in God and get men to God before they do murder and before they do get off in drugs and sex and everything else. We better get to God and let this world know, thank God, as a dream can come true.
Amen.
Well, I just say sweet dream, Brother Gene. God bless you.